morning, everyone. This is my first time, and good morning to everyone. Today's reading is from Proverbs 1:1-19. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let their discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, for the sayings and the riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. There will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay for some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who do go down into the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things, and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them, do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread their net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it.
Well, welcome again, everyone. I understand I've just been informed there's a dad missed out. Yeah, but I'll get one later. Okay. Good, thank you. I am now officially recognised. That's great. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank and praise you that we can be here today, and again that you are our Father, and in you we find all grace and truth, wisdom, discernment, guidance, and discipline. And we ask that you now help us to understand this passage from your word, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's really good to be here on Father's Day. Now, you know, of course, that Father's Day is nowhere near as important as Mother's Day, right? It's true. In America, there is presents, the amount spent on presents on Mother's Day is twice as much as on Father's Day. $24 billion on women, on mothers, on Mother's Day, and about $11 billion on fathers. So, actually more than twice. And so fathers are not as important as mothers, right? Wrong, of course, because we don't worry about or look towards American economics. What we look towards, of course, is the Bible here. And what it says to us about fathers here in this particular passage. Well, in the passage here, we see that the Bible is not a modern book, of course. It's written 2,000, 3,000 years ago, and we don't expect it to address modern issues of dads in today's society. But like any good literature, you will always get eternal insights coming out of a book like this that was written so long ago. And it's part of what we do when we read the Bible is try and discern what are the contemporary, the historic parts of the Bible that we see here, and what are the eternal truths that come through to us in this passage. And one of the things just looking here, when I first read it and rather struck me, is that it's not a patriarchal passage at all. It talks about both fathers and mothers. And listen to your father's guidance and to your mother's teaching. And the passage here stresses that dad exists in a context. And the context is the wider family. And mum has a very important part in that. And that that girls are as important as boys. It addresses sons. But throughout the book of Proverbs, you see how important it is that fathers provide guidance to their children, not just to their sons. And so what are the guidance points of guidance? Firstly, wisdom, moral guidance, knowledge, and discretion. Those are the four key words you see here. Wisdom, moral guidance, knowledge and discretion. And when I look at that, look at the passage there, those are like a garland around the neck. When you have those four things, it's like having a garland around the neck. And this year I've been to a couple of graduation ceremonies in Auckland. And what's distinctive about a graduation ceremony in New Zealand, as opposed to many other countries? We went to one last year in Oxford. Of course, our son, didn't we? Yep, in Oxford. And there was a very distinctive difference between the two. One, obviously, was the one in Oxford was in Latin, and a very, like, not much change from 800 years. But the one in New Zealand, in Auckland, was quite distinctive because it was very Polynesian and Pacific Island. And all the Pacific Island graduates had leis, or garlands, around their necks. And some of them gave a garland to the Vice Chancellor as he shook their hand. So at the end, the Vice Chancellor was laden with all these garlands, or with these leis, and could hardly see his face over them all. And that's what it is in Pacific Island understanding is a lei. It is there because it is a mark of respect, a mark of achievement. It is a mark of knowledge, that you have gained some knowledge, you have achieved something, and that you have graduated, if I can use that word, as a leader in the church or society. And so that's the picture that the Solomon here is creating in this passage, that God gives us a lei to put around our necks, a beautiful lei of flowers, because he, through him, not ours, through him, we have achieved the status of his child, who he has guided with discretion, wisdom, and knowledge, and guidance. Knowledge, wisdom, discretion, and guidance. So just looking very briefly at those words, what is knowledge? Knowledge means knowing something, but basically it is not simply knowing a fact. The basis of all knowledge is the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean you being afraid of him. That means that we think he is awesome, to put it in modern language. That is, put it in today's language, he is awesome. And that is the fear of God. That is the basis of all knowledge. When we know something, it is based on the fact that we think God is awesome, and we, because he's awesome, his world is awesome, and we know his world, and we study it, and his word and his world. The word wisdom comes from the word Sophia, and many girls today have got the name Sophia. And it's the fourth most popular name in the United States, and it's the 19th most popular name in New Zealand. I'm not sure why that is, but there you have it. It's a very popular name in the United States, and it's the 19th most popular name for girls over recent years in New Zealand. But it occurs 55 times in Proverbs. And wisdom is a key quality that God teaches us and gives us. And what is it? What is wisdom? Very briefly, and because of the health and safety presentation coming next, I just want to keep this very brief. So in a sentence, it is knowing why and what lies behind the facts of life. Knowing why and what lies behind. Why is the world as it is? Why is God is as he is? Why has he said what he's said? And so the word why really lies behind the word wisdom. Knowing why things are as they are, not just what they are. The word discretion is also an important one. So we have knowledge, knowing something, wisdom, knowing why things are as they are, discretion. And in some ways you can say, to just take one part of discretion, it means not doing something for the sake of not causing embarrassment or attracting too much attention. And it's especially done by keeping information secret. That's from the dictionary. So it means the ability to behave without causing embarrassment or attracting too much attention when attention is not desirable or going to be helpful. So discretion means the ability to see things and do things in a way which is going to be the most helpful for the for in this our case, the church or our family. The last word there is guidance. And the word guidance has been the direction or the motion of position of something, especially an aircraft or a missile. Again, this is from the Oxford Dictionary. It means deciding what direction you're going and deciding what is the direction that we should go personally, as a family, as a church. And so guidance means finding the way forward, the right way forward, the way that God wants us to go forward, based on knowledge, based on wisdom, and based on our discretion, our understanding of each other, and encouragement and building up of each other. And so as we look at this passage, and we'll look at it again later in coming weeks, but I just want to focus on those four words, the knowledge of God, which begins with the fear of the Lord, thinking God is awesome. God is awesome, and because he's awesome, his world that he has created is awesome. We can study that, we can live here, and we can understand it and enjoy it and make our community better because of it. Wisdom means, why is the world as it is? Why are there tensions? Why are there the problems around us? And wisdom means knowing how to, knowing what, why things are as they are. Discretion means working out how to most easily, most satisfactorily move forward. May help our church to become a church that really makes a difference in our community and knows when to speak and when not to speak. And lastly, the guidance. There are 100,000 people around us. How do we pick which road to use, which way to go, what to do? And guidance means listening to the word of God and picking the correct way to go forward to have a maximum effect, for maximum impact of with the gospel in our own, with using the resources we have, both personal and asset resources, using those resources to go forward and to make a difference in the world around us when we are not a big church, just a small little drop in an ocean of people. How do you make a difference? And guidance means we are listening to the word of God, we are listening to his word through the Bible, and we are discerning the way to go forward. We do that by knowing him, by thinking he's awesome, by discerning why the world is as it is as it is, why he says what he says, and by deciding together how we go forward in the world around us. So let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for this passage. We thank you for your guidance of all your people, your sons and daughters. We thank you that you give us knowledge of you, that you are indeed awesome, and that you tell us why Jesus came, what it means for us, and through that we receive joy and grace. You guide us in our own personal way and ways of life, and you guide our church, and you guide us in our outreach and in our living. And we ask that you give us discretion, the ability to know what to say and when to say it, and how to encourage and who to encourage, and to know when you are guiding us and to whom you're guiding us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so now we'll hand over to Jono for what is a necessary thing for us to know about. So thanks, Jono.
Going to stand to the side because we've got some slides for you here. So this morning I have the privilege of presenting the ACPC Health and Safety Induction. I appreciate it's probably not high on the list of exciting things you had to do today, but I hope you'll all agree that it is important, both from a church perspective as well as family and as individuals. So without further ado, we'll crack on, and thank you for your attention over the next 10 minutes. I will keep it to that. Next slide, please. So the purpose of the induction is really to run through the ACPC's health and safety management processes and policies, and it's relevant to everyone, from staff to volunteers to visitors as well. I'm not here to drill in the importance of health and safety, but to tell you about how you can contribute towards ACPC's health and safety management. So at ACPC, we believe that an effective health and safety management system is key to a successful organisation ethically, morally, spiritually, legally, and financially. And we've put a few sort of bullet points down there, but in essence, it's about collectively taking responsibility for health and safety by making sure that we are on the lookout for any sort of hazards and that we voice that accordingly and then take the appropriate actions. At the end of the day, we all want to make sure that everyone comes here, has a good time, but also gets home safely, you know, back to friends and family. Health and safety is everyone's responsibility. However, there are health and safety representatives. So on the left there, Reverend Tang. On the right, Tony as the session clerk, as well as Lydia and myself. So we're the appointed health and safety representatives for ACPC. Carry on. Health and safety begins with how you get to church. There are two main entry points, and I can see you've all successfully navigated your way through to the hall, which is great. But there's a main entrance there on the right, and also there's a path on the left, which you may be familiar with. Also worth noting that parking's not available on site, but we do have an agreement with the Wilson's parking lot across the road for a $4 parking, which can come in handy. Otherwise, there's street parking as well. ACPC has a number of facilities, obviously the hall, the portacoms and the chapel down below, and the kitchen, and the toilets, which are obviously important. Perhaps it's also worth noting that rubbish is to be taken off-site and that there is no smoking allowed on these premises. If there is an emergency or there's a fire, please follow your normal sort of rules, activate the alarm, alert the people around you, and then make your way through the closest exit. So from here, it's through these doors on the left, and you walk away around onto Vincent Street and to the assembly point, which is outside YWCA. If you were downstairs, then you can just go back through the main entrance and then onto the street and again to the assembly point. So on the next slide, we've just taken a snapshot there, so you can see the ACPC and then the assembly point. There are no trials planned for today, okay, you'll be pleased to know, but at some stage there will be a trial, and make sure everyone knows where to go and assembles correctly. There can obviously be a number of hazards, and it's everyone's responsibility, but if you do see something, please don't be shy about letting someone know, particularly perhaps reporting it to a health and safety representative, Tony or myself, primarily for the EM, or Reverend Tang and Lydia for the CM. It's important that you don't try and make building modifications by yourself. Yeah, from a point of view of both personal injury, but also there are a number of regulations that this building needs to comply with, and there's a chance that DIY might not actually comply with that. The mat is a prime example. I know there's the best intentions, but we do need to make sure that the proper processes are followed. So we've listed here a few of the, perhaps, some policies in relation to things that we generally do on a Sunday, and sort of tips, or most of it's common sense, really. Just be familiar with the equipment that you're using. When you're lifting heavy objects, including the chairs at the end of the service, make sure that it's within your own capabilities, right? You don't need to be a hero and lift more chairs than you're capable of. You just end up with a bad back. Make sure that you're adopting a correct procedure as well. And then hot water is always an issue. And let's get the next one. Be aware that health and safety issues can be both mental and physical. And really, it's just keep an eye out for those around you, and speak up if something's not right, or going to have a chat to them, just see how they're feeling, look after each other. Accidents. In the unfortunate event that something does happen, please do report it. If you need first aid equipment, then there is a first aid kit in the kitchen under the benches. And if you are the last to leave and you need to lock up, then it's important that we leave the church in a safe state, including returning equipment back to where they belong, as well, and turning off the heaters and locking all the doors, etc. I thought I'd just close with a couple of perhaps key things for our church. We're blessed to have a number of youth and young peoples, but with that we acknowledge that there's increased responsibilities around that, and particularly around who can lead youth activities and work with the youth. And that's why we've got a number of policies, and we comply with the Presbytery Warrant of Fitness Training, which includes going things through like Code of Ethics, and we also get police checks, reference checks, etc., as a way of making sure that we've gone through the required processes there. And on the next slide, just a run through that, all activities require authorization from the senior minister or session clerk, so that's Reverend Tang or Tony. And that in many ways also includes a risk assessment to make sure that they've understood the potential hazards that might be at play with that activity. And working with youth often has a few extra requirements in terms of permission slips and making sure that the adult to youth ratio is within the required rates. So that's all I had for this morning. Thank you for all staying awake and for concentrating. Were there any questions? You feel free to ask them now, otherwise perhaps come and see me afterwards. Might be better. No, thank you.
As the deer pants on. soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Through the streets of life, in whatever people will hear with you.